Sister Linda, that was an awesome word, and the psalmist said, I encourage myself in the Lord. When nobody was around in the midnight hour, you have to encourage yourself. Many a night I lay there and Rosie sleeping, and I have to encourage myself in the Lord. In those midnight hours, you encourage yourself in the Lord. And we thank you. God brought you through. And that is a powerful word, Joshua. And Sister Joni, that was real good. That was real good. See, it's very, very good. And we thank the Lord for you both and the testimonies that you have on the songs. And we thank God for this message on Joshua. See, you have to build yourself up. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. And then Sister Joni speaks about pulling them out of the fire. Remember? Yes. You have to pray. You have to be very strong. Yes. Very courageous. And when you witness to your loved one or anyone, you have to be very strong. Very bold. Very courageous. Amen? And very polite. You do it polite. You have to be very wise. And we thank God for touching and saving Sister Joni's uncle. She went over pulling him out of the fire. That's the way that's the way you do it. Amen? And we thank God for his word and for what he has been doing for us. And this, we're taking up with the study of Joshua. And we found out this morning how God built him a man. God was building Joshua, building his faith, and preparing him to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And things that he had to watch out for. And how we know how God, our Moses sent, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went over into the land of Canaan to spy it out. You know the story. And there was 10 that brought back evil reports. But there was 2, Caleb and Joshua, servants of God that brought back good reports. And God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years while all of the others died. They remain alive. And God prepared Joshua until he became a great leader and became a wonderful man. We found out also this morning how God feels about idols, idolatry. Remember? And we should have no other gods beside him. And we were in Deuteronomy, Exodus, the 32nd chapter, and how Moses destroyed the idols, the image of gold, and he burnt it in the fire, and the dust he cast into the water, the dust, and how He cast the dust into the water, and there what happened? He made them drink that water. Okay, where am I now? And in verse, what chapter? 32, verse 21, what does it say? And Moses said unto Aaron, what did these people do unto thee? that thou hast brought so great a sin on them. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man, there we had that this morning, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. In other words, we don't know what happened to him. Could be up in the mountain and died. They didn't love Moses very much, eh? And I said unto them, whosoever had any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire. Watch this lie. Watch this lie. Because before we read that he took tools and carved it out. And watch this lie. Not telling Moses the truth. Giving Moses a spin. Trying to get out of it. But he was just digging a...
He didn't take responsibility.
He wouldn't take responsibility. So he was adding sin to sin. He's going deeper into it. It's best to tell the truth. Okay? Now, when you're confronted, tell the truth. Don't spin. He says, and I said unto them, whosoever had any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I notice what he did. He's not taking the blame. Then he said, I'll just cast it in the fire. I mean, and out came. And there came out of the fire, there came out this calf. I mean, that's funny, isn't it? That's a lie. They gave me it's just like, I just cast all of this gold in, and there came out this golden calf. Verse 25 says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked. All right, notice, remember that word naked? Have you ever seen that? No covering? Poor, blind, wretched, miserable, naked. What makes you naked? Idols. The Laodicean church had idols. And they were poor, blind, wretched, miserable, and naked. You've made these people naked. For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Can you imagine? They were surrounded by enemies and they were naked. Naked means that no covering. That means the presence of God had departed from them. Whenever the presence of God is departed from you, you're naked. That's why David prayed so much. Yes. Oh Lord, take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Yes. When you don't have the covering of God in a church, when you're just performing, that's what I'm saying. You have to pray. Otherwise, you come to church Sunday morning, Wednesday or whatever time, and you're naked. You're just performing. You don't have the anointing. You don't have the covering. Or you come to church, and as soon as you go home, you're back to your normal. And he made them naked. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, that's what I'm asking you tonight. Ask yourself the question, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? When you're, just don't say me with your lips, but your presence, your action, your work. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. See, that's why they were chosen. They were chosen. You get? You understand now? They weren't chosen just because they were special, but because of their action, their love for God. In the time of trouble, when others are halting, you take your stand.
Amen.
I like what Sister Joni said about her uncle. The boldness she had to have. That's what you have to win your relatives. You cannot laugh and compromise and do what they do or fellowship with them when they're doing things that's not right or that's not godly. And they invite you and you sit down and laugh. But you say, but I'm not doing it. But your presence. The Bible tells us in Psalms. That walketh, blessed man, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sit, walk, stand. Don't do that. But his delight is in church. Is in the house of God. Amen. I was glad when they say unto me, let us go into the house of God. His delight was in the law of the Lord of law of God, and in that law
did
he meditate day and night. And that was a powerful testimony going over there.
Amen.
And look what the Lord has done.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Then verse 27. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side. In other words, gird on your sword. A time for war. Now is a time for war. Okay? There's a time for everything and a season. And you've got to love your brother more than how you love God. You've got to love your relatives more than how you love. You've got to love God, rather. What did I say? You've got to love God more than how you love your relatives. More than your brother, more than your sister. You have to love God more than anyone else. Okay, now, here's the proof. Put every man his sword upon his side and go in and out. No, in and out from gate to gate, house to house, throughout the camp and slay every man his brother. And every man is companion. And every man is neighbor. And the children of Levi, notice. Children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000. Wow. 3,000 men. God doesn't joke. He was getting rid of all of the idolaters. Amen. It's hard. Today you don't use natural weapon, carnal weapons. But you use spiritual weapons and you have to stand there and stick it to your brother. And stick it to your mother. He said, I can't do that. Well, you are going to let them go to destruction anyway. Because you're afraid to tell your mother and your sister and your cousins that if they don't accept Jesus Christ and turn, they're lost. Well, I love them too much. No, you don't. You think you do. But that's human love. Because you know, the scripture says, you've got to pull them. Some of them got to be pulled out of the fire. So you've got to get over there and tell them, you're in the fire. Well, I'm afraid. You're not very strong. And you're not very courageous. Unless you can face up your loved one and says, you need to be saved. You're playing games. But the thing is that they think that we're not serious. But when they see that tears of love, that's what they saw from Joni. Tears of love. And that will break you. For Moses had said, consecrate yourself. That means that sanctification. Consecrate yourself. Sanctify yourself when?
Today.
To the Lord. Every man upon his son and upon his brother that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. That means when you take vengeance, if your son do it, you tell him the truth. Stand up. He bring all kind of stuff into your house. He needs to get him an apartment. And you're not going to pay for it either. Otherwise, he'll never grow up. Mama's little baby boy. Daddy's little baby boy. How old is he? All right, figure it out.
And it came to pass
on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord pre-adventure. I shall make atonement for your sins. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, look at it now. Oh, these people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, you know what he's doing now? He's appealing to the mercy of God. When you sin, don't hide it. Go to God in humility. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And bow before God. Oh, hallelujah. He's a friend that's taken closer than a brother. He's a loving God, a loving Father. And you just pour your heart out and said, Father, I have sinned. Like the publican, was it? I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against earth. Will you forgive me? I'm not even worthy, like the prodigal son, to be called your son. And God's going to forgive you. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee. See, we know that he has a book. Out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, watch this. Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Today you sin and you don't repent. You'll get your name blotted out. But you can repent. Amen. See? Now, God is not, you made a mistake or you sinned, and then he blots your name out right away. And you repent and he write it back again. And you sin and he blotted out. No. You know when your name get blotted out? At the judgment. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, you get your name blotted out because you died with sins that are not repented of, or the Lord return and find you into it. But you can repent. Well, I don't care what you've done. There's no sin tonight. There's no sin that's greater than the blood. Hallelujah. Therefore, now go. Lead the people unto the place, you see, of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. God said, I'm going to visit and I'm going to deal with them. But for now, mercy. But when they transgress against me again, I'm going to really give them a double portion of it. Now, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. He tried to fool Moses, but he couldn't fool God. You try to fool the pastor, you can't fool God. Now, the next chapter went on, and here's what in the just a few things in the next chapter of chapter, for time's sake, chapter 33, where he renewed the covenant. God renewed the covenant. But I want to go to chapter 34, where he got back and dealing with idolatry. And look at how God declared himself to Moses. And I need to read this because this is beautiful. Let me come on down for time's sake. Verse 5, read. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord God merciful. Look at it. You begin to learn something about God. Look at it right here. Let's read it slow. The Lord God, everybody reading it. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. And by no means clearing, read on, the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That's why you can stand in the gap. I don't care where your generation came from, and you can lift and break the curse or whatever was in your family lineage. You can do it. But if you follow them and do what they do, they'll go on for the next generation, generations. But you're here, and you've come to your family, you've come to this time to break it. You have to break it. And you have to stand there. And if I perish, I perish. But you've got to say, devil, you're a liar. You're not going to stay in my family anymore. My family, family, fathers, fathers before have worshipped idols as far as I know, but it stopped with me. Yes. Now you ought to praise the Lord. I am going to see that my family change. The next generation is not going to flow down the river. But we're not strong and very courageous to do it. To dry up the stream of idolatry that's been coming down from generation. And it's in the family. Somebody has got to rise up and root it out. Praise God. Are you the one? Yes. Or will you just let it flow by and you don't have any backbone? You have to be strong and very courageous. Sometimes you have to face up with your uncle. You have to face up with your daddy, your brothers, your sisters. And you have to show them the folly of worshiping idols. And how the mistake by not serving the true and living God right now. Tell them they're living in a false hope. They have a wrong dream that's never going to come to pass that way. And one of these days is going to be too late. Remember now. When they slip in eternity, it's too late. You don't pray nobody out of hell into heaven. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have to die. That's a false dream. That's a false hope. That cannot be done. Where a tree falls, there it lies. That's why Joni knew that. And she went to tell her uncle. Amen? And we all have relatives. I know they're stubborn. And they might not accept. But at least you told them. At least they know what you stand for. When they're partying all night, you don't party all night with them. Well, I've got to be social. Once you can be socially dead. But you've got to sanctify yourself. Means set apart. You coming to the party tonight? No, I'm not. I have another one to go to. Hallelujah. Where? Well, I've got a bigger party than yours because seem, I'm compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. And you can party all night. Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. See? True worship. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquities and our sins, and take us for thine inheritance. I want to show you, it's not just because God made a promise to you. You have to pray to him and talk to him. Look what Moses is doing. The covenant, reminding God of his covenant and asking him for strength. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels. Look, isn't God wonderful? Look how you can turn the heart of God, the favor of God to you, to your church, if you'll only obey and pray right. But we struggle and we fight and we don't surrender and we think it's going to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed. You're still going to be fighting. And next year this time you're just the same, maybe worse. Because that little raise you get in your paycheck, it's going to disappear because something is going to happen. Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels. All right, let's see. Such as have not, are you reading? Have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nations, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. All right, how you observe the word? Observe it. You see how these sisters were all day observing the word? They weren't up here telling about some dream they had last night. No. Or somebody lay their hands and give them a word that they're going to overseas as a missionary. No. They were sober. Stabled. Observed. Though that which I have commanded. You see what you need to observe? You don't stand at your window and peep through and look at what your neighbor is doing and observe your neighbor. But you peep in the word of God and observe what God's doing. Observed. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Where's Millie? Millie, isn't that a powerful word? Observe. Every move that God made. Remember he said he was going to do marvelous things? Wonderful things? Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, look at me, what I'm going to do. Drive out before thee the Amorites. Let's count. The Amorites. Look how I'm going to drive out the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Evites and the Jebusites. How many is that? You didn't count right, did you? Let's go back and count. Is it? Let's go back and count. The Amorites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Evites, and Jebusites. How many?
Six.
Six? All right, let's. Verse 11. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare. Remember what we're talking about? You remember? Stay there. You remember what we were talking about? The inhabitants? Huh? You're trying to blend in. It's going to be a snare to you. a stumbling block. Let it be for a snare in the midst. You cannot play and get away. You don't take chance. You'll never be successful. You cannot win. But everything inside of you, all right, they might not come to, they might be bound one way, but you're bound another way. Because you're bound by deception. They have one deception, but you have another deception. Okay, they won't come to church, but you figure that I can still fellowship with them and win. See? Two. It's only the devil has got many ways to deceive you. So you're the same. You're in the same basket. You might have on a different color clothes, but you're in the same basket. Because you're right there where they are. See, if Lot never got out of Sodom, he'd have been burned up. His wife got out, but she didn't get out. Because her heart was back there. She looked back. So although she was out, but her heart was there. And you might be out, but your heart is there. And if you wasn't there, you'd be so mad. You'd be so disappointed. You wonder why they have church on this night. Take heed. Am I preaching now? You all ought to say good preaching, Pastor. You know, you're just sitting out there and at me. Look at me and say something. You're not mad at me, are you?
No.
Well, go ahead and say good preaching, Pastor. Say, Pastor, you're talking about me, so it's good. Take heed to thyself. Right? Well, look what I'm doing for you. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. Next verse. But you shall, here's what you've got to do. Destroy their altars. Break their images. Cut down their groves. Are you doing that? You left the same tradition of your father that they hooked in. But you got out, but you've got to get back and break it down. Say, Mom, Dad, Uncle, Cousin, I love you. But I've got to break your halters down. Here, for thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, we had that this morning, is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. His name is jealous. That's a good title. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants, here it is, it's so subtle. With the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their God, and they go a whoring after their gods. That means you follow it. And do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, look at it, see, here it is. One call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. They call you secretly and subtle. And ring, ring, your cell phone. It's even easier today. You look. Or even easy text and says, my baby is having a baby party tonight. No, it's adult party. Babies don't have party. Could you come over? We're just going to have a little function to celebrate the baby. And the baby's in the crib sleeping with a pacifier. And they make sure to feed the baby and shut the baby up because they want to party all night. And you ignorantly gone over and say, where's the little darling? Is or she sleeping? They're not at the party. They just got you over. And boy, they meet you at the door with a glass of something. Lest thou make a covenant. Is that where I am? With 16. Let's go on. And thou take of their daughters unto thy son, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons to go a whoring after. Now everybody's saying, you get so close to them, before you know it, your kids will be marrying them. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Thou shalt, next verse. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and as I commanded thee in the time of the Mount Abib, for in the Mount Abib thou camest out from Egypt. God knows even the very day, the hour, the month he brought them out. It was not the golden calf that brought them out. That's what. How many more verses do I have right there? Okay. I have a lot more. So I am going to go forward a little bit. There's more I can do. I can go there. But let me go forward now to, I'm going to go to now to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Go there forward in. So I start to bring this to close till Wednesday night. Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's a beautiful, where Sister Linda at the first started in Deuteronomy chapter 1. I think I go there a little bit. About when Joshua was being prepared. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Help me somebody. Where Joshua was now being prepared. What verse? How the Lord begin to point out Joshua. Verse in Deuteronomy, it's chapter 1. Somebody just look for it there and help me. Verse where the Lord points out Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 38. Let's read on then quickly. All right. Okay. I need to go up to verse 34. Let's read 34 quickly.
And the Lord heard the voice of your word.
Now the Lord is reminding them the wrong that they did when they went over as spies, and their words and everything. God's reminding them now. And he's building him a man. He's choosing. Moses still has some time. But Joshua is in preparation now to do a different ministry. Moses led them out of Egypt. Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. So verse, let's read quickly. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth. And swear, saying, surely there shall not notice. Not one of these men of this, here it was, an evil generation, and you'll find that in Hebrews 8. Hebrews chapter 3. Right? This evil generation. Oh, for 40 years, they were evil. Now, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon, and to him, to his children, because he had, notice, holy. What does that mean, holy? Completely, fully? Follow with all of his heart. That's the way you serve God. That's what I'm telling you. You want the power of God in this church? Not a little bit, part time, once in a while. Pick up, drop down, pick your Bible up on Saturday night, and you read a few verses, come down Sunday morning, and expect the power of God to move. You've got to listen for that still small voice. When have you heard that still small voice? You can't follow everything you hear in your head, your sounds you hear in your brains. Amen. Amen. E holy follow the Lord.
Also, the Lord
was
angry
The Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. Moses was left out. But look at this now. Look at this now. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said before thee, he shall go in thither and encourage him. How? With the word. But how can he encourage Joshua if when he tells Joshua, Moses tells Joshua something, somebody else tell Joshua something else, and Joshua obey that? Joshua that stands before you, encourage him. Yes. Amen. Oh, no, you can't spend time talking to the pastor. It's not the pastor's benefit. It's Joshua's benefit. It's Caleb's benefit. Amen. It's not Moses' benefit. No. Moses already did his job. Yeah. How could Timothy be Timothy if he didn't listen to Paul? Did you know that when a pastor, I mean, I'm not talking about plain church, okay, and with ignorant stuff that don't know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real men and women that knows God. You can't disturb them. When they're meditating, you can't disturb them. It would almost be like a felony, blasphemy. You knock their door when that pastor is meditating and reaching out for God, you can't disturb him. It's secular, no, you can't disturb him. It's forbidden. But today we're so light. We have no fear of God. Moses had to put a covering over his face when he came into camp. Oh no, I just barge in the presence of God. Push the door open. You're so wild. You have no fear of God. But when that fear of God grip you, amen, you'll see what I'm saying. Amen. Martha didn't know what she was doing. She barged in. Out of the kitchen. Do you understand that? I want Mary to come and help her. You've got to have the fear of God. Joshua stood beside thee. He said, encourage him. For he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now what if Joshua didn't know? He wouldn't know a thing. He wouldn't know a thing. You see, the things of God is not just because I'm your uncle. See, I know father, son, but many times it doesn't work. It's got to be someone that God chooses, a successor. And God knows. God knows. He knows the heart. You can't play with God and still God use you. The Esau spirit. You can't have your cake and eat it and still go on in God. You've got to dedicate yourself and stand in the presence of God. And you've got to miss a lot of the world. You can't be caught up with the world and be partakers. You can't do that. You're going to have to miss. You can't be everything that everybody wants you to be. A man of God is serious. Making a man of God is serious. It's the most deadly thing. Amen? Where am I? Did I finish that verse? Go back there. Go back there quickly, 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, you see now how he begin to, the maturity, before he was, but now that maturity begin to work in his life. Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth, here's a track record. Here's a track record. You've got to have a track record. Where are you? The man of God can't find you. You're not there. You know, why did Joshua never ask Moses, what can I do? When Moses never asked me, no, Joshua had to make himself available. Do you know how long Elisha served Elijah? 10 years. Faithfully. Sometimes he washed his hands, even cut his nails, washed his clothes. That's why John Mark got discouraged. He didn't know how to wash Paul's clothes. The journey was too rough. He was first a mama's boy. But John Mark grew up to be one of the greatest disciples. But look at this. This is a serious lesson. Because this church needs to change. Somebody must carry me. Carry you? Carry you? That's why you're so spoiled. You're so spoiled. You want somebody to babysit you. Yeah? You know, people sometimes they're 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old. And they want somebody to babysit them. Carry me. I'm not talking if you're sick. See? Sister Linda, your husband was sick. He needed that. It wasn't easy, but he needed that. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither and encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Oh, I want to shout. Do you see the foundation? Oh, God, a man was built. He had Moses, and then now God's talking about the man. It's when God speaks for you. Don't worry. You do the right thing. God will speak for you. Amen. You don't have to speak for yourself. Amen. Now look at this. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. And unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. God says, I'm able to save your generations without your help. And the Lord said, you're going to die, and I'm going to save your kids, and they're going to bring them over. Amen. And you can add to that. But as for you, I told you, but as for you, go back. Turn back. You want to go to Egypt? Go back. Wander in the wilderness. Go around in circle. See, there comes a time when you miss God, when it's too late, when there's no way back. You know, people say, well, we're like, no, this comes a time. Suddenly, here it is. But as for you, remember the Lord was, they think they get away with it. But they didn't. He said, as for you, turn you and take your journey in the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Go and go back anywhere. Wander in the wilderness. A lot of people there just wander. Sometimes they wander from church to church. They're not settled down. You found a church, a good church, where you hear the word of God and stay in that church. Not wander all over the place. Eh? Have you found a good church? You found a good church? You're hearing the word of God? Settle down. Don't wander in the wilderness. Then he answered and said unto me. No, you see why they begin to repent now? When the door is closed. We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight. Look at that now. We will. See there. But they're going to do it themselves. A lot of people, well, I'll come when I'm ready. When I get ready, I'll turn to the Lord. No, you won't. Or you can say words, but if the Spirit is not touching you, you're in trouble. Said, we will go up and fight. That's without the Lord. According to all that the Lord our God commanded us. When the Lord was giving them, they didn't want it. They saw the giants. Remember? They couldn't. Only Joshua and Caleb. And they wanted to make captain to go back to Egypt because they think it was better. They wouldn't go by the way God wants them to go. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. But you see, they didn't know it was too late. And when ye have girded on your every man his weapon of war, you were ready to go up into the hill, but God was not with them. Notice. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not, hello, help me, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. This is the secret now. This is the secret. It's not when somebody tells you you're ready. It's when God deals with you and you postpone it and you put it off and you keep postponing it and do something else. Bang. The door is closed. But you don't know it's closed because you still think you feel the anointing. But you don't. And you figure I'll just get up and perform. But it's gone. The Lord's not with you. You remember this morning? So you just make a noise. Everything you do is a noise. You become like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not, underline that in your Bible, I am not among you. Then you begin to pray, oh Lord, don't leave us. Oh God, please, Father, don't leave us. Like Moses said, if you're not with us, don't take us up. Lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear. See that? What a rebellion. You would not listen to the message. You would not hear. How many times and you will not change? You just go and do the same thing. Or you twist it and do another thing. What do you think going to happen to you? What do you think going to happen to you? This is serious. It's not a joke. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord. Look at that. And went out. And went out. Put that word presumptuously. Help me. Give me what some meanings. Huh? Presumptuously. Willfully. Give me a strong word. When somebody's so daring and bold. You ever seen that? Just daring and bold. And have no fear of God. And ready to challenge God. Ready to challenge the things of God. I won't. Ooh. Arrogant. That's a powerful. Go look up for those words and come back and tell me some of those. Presumptuously up brazen. You know when a person has lost the fear of God, they stand right there. They stand before. You know, let me tell you something. A lot of us, we need to have sanctified tongues. You could stand there and you could just tell somebody off, give them a piece of your mind. When I'm in no mood, I will, and you forget that you're a Christian. And the next hour, you're praising the Lord. You forgot that your tongue was longer than the elevator. I mean, come on. Disrespectful. Huh? You don't care who's there. Well, I've got to tell my piece of my mind. And you disrespect. You just plow into them. Bad spirit. And a lot of us, we have that from generation. We grew up seeing it. Boy, I had family members that I grew up in the mornings. You know what they had for prayer? A good round of argument. And boy, they wake up. You didn't need an alarm clock. They were the alarm clock in the village. And they would wake up and they'd hear their voice the same thing. Loud. Amen. And what about that sweet, mellow, humble spirit? Do you have to show everybody that your ignorance? Do you have to show everybody who you are, your color? We don't want to see your color. We want to see the glory of God that's revealed in the face of Jesus Christ in your face. I want to see your color. Come on. This church ought to, you're in the choir, whatever you are doing, work together. Somebody missed a note, correct it. Amen. Don't, somebody can't sing as good as you are. Do I? Come on, bear it then. Bear one another's burden. Amen. Do you always have to show that ugliness to show how smart you are? Sometimes it's better zip it up. Zipporah. Come on, don't let anybody see that dark side of you. Come on, repent of that. Hide that with, and God's got to take that away from you. But let them see the glory of God in you. Yes. Yes. I mean that now tonight. It's time to stop acting presumptuously, arrogantly, brazen. Overstepping their due bounds. Or taking liberty. I don't care when they get mad. I don't care if you're a man of God or you're elder, or I'll tell you a piece of my mind, disrespect. No manners. You know what? It's a lack of training. That's ignorance. And that's not going to get in the kingdom of God. Because it tells you that charity does not hurt. It's tender. It's kind. It suffers long and it's kind. So when you got that arrogant spirit, I'm teaching tonight. When you got that arrogant spirit, a brazen spirit, but you've got to have a meek and a quiet spirit. Amen. When you pass someone that's meditating and study the word of God, you've got to tiptoe and don't disturb. Amen. Fear of God. That's a man. And that's a real woman. That's a real young person that loves God. But when you just, and you come in, and you don't care, and you don't care, you have no respect, disrespect. You could not even talk to Moses because of the glory that was on him. Let me go on. Am I giving you a background and coming in the word of God? Are you changing? Are you seeing who you are? It's not just sudden like that. You have to be prepared. God has to build a man. He has to make a woman. You have to build the young people's group, the elders group, the deacon, whatever, ushering. Otherwise, even the young people, they won't know. They just walk down wild. But God's a God of order. So I spake unto you, and he would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the... I'm showing you all that Joshua been through, and yet he stood. He was there in all that rebellion. He went over to spy out the land, but he came back with a good report. He stood with Moses.
Amen.
Do you get the message tonight? And he says that, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. Next verse. And now God was not with them. So the Amorites. Let me tell you, when you're not changing, God's got somebody out there waiting for you. Mm-hmm. You what? You sharp? You rebellious? The way you act, somebody's going to get right up in your face and push you back. And you're going to have the shock of your life that you're arrogant. You need to cut it out. You need to stop that. You need to have respect to everybody. This church need to, where the kids, the children used to have respect. Everybody need to have respect. Amen. Love one another. Am I talking to, well, why are you going to have a convention with, if there's disrespect? Oh, I can honor the ministers that's coming in, but I can't honor the people. But who do you think you are? There's nobody in the church that's better than the other one. Amen. Who give you a lieutenant bar when everybody's a corporal or private? But you're the promoted one. Who give you that? Well, if somebody give it to you tonight, I demote you and put you in your place. Now, this is serious. God give us beautiful lessons like these. Why? He wants to change the spirit of this church. My spirit, your spirit, our spirit. He changed. Now, look. I sit there at night and I'm asking God to change me because I want more of God. But go back there before we begin to close. And the Amorites, which dwell in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do. You don't want bees get after you. You don't have that experience. I did. If you don't, go on your YouTube, come somewhere, see bees chasing. You might have that there. As bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even in Mount Armor. And you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord would not, my God, would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. God shut them out. Can you imagine now? Was it the Amorites chasing them? The enemy chasing them? They turned to the Lord to cry, and God shut them out, and God won't hear them. You don't want to be like that, right? You go to the job, the boss is on your back. You come home and try to pray, and oh God, man, God doesn't hear you. I'm preaching. Amen. You better listen to that now. And every door, everything is against you. You know why? Because you're brazen, you're presumptuous. And God wants to break that spirit out of you until you become humble. Where your tongue is not bigger than the church. Where your spirit is not stronger than the church. You have to break. Ain't nobody ever tell you that you need to break? That's a problem. And you come to a church. When you come to the judgment seat of God, this is the judgment seat of God, you're being judged. I'm the judge tonight through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Telling you what the word says. And I'm also being judged. Amen. And if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. Yes. When God was giving it to them, they didn't want it. Mm-hmm. But it's in their time. Mm-hmm. And when they wanted it, it's too late. Let me close. And you return and wept before the Lord. Haven't we done that? Haven't we done that? A lot of us is when we're in trouble. You don't remember God. You don't cry. But it's when something happened to you on the job or something happened to you somewhere. And you put on a big bawling, but you really don't mean that. As soon as it clears up, you go right back to your normal. And you don't remember God. That's hypocrisy. That's playing games. That's using God. Are you getting it? Amen. You have to change. It's quiet tonight. Amen. Boy, I'm preaching good tonight. It's quiet. Look, you all, look at me, everybody. You all, I'm talking to you. Yes. When somebody's talking to you, look at their face. Yes. I'm talking to you. Praise God. Look me square in the eyeball. Amen. Because you know that you've been brazen. Tough little cookie. And you've had your way pushing everybody, no doubt. And you come to the church, you don't know when to quit. But when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, you break. Because that message touched me. How cold are you? It's touched me. It cuts me up. Cuts me up. Because I'm preaching at me, too. You have to learn to say sorry. I repent. You have to ask forgiveness. Amen. You have to say, you know, I've wronged you, but I'm asking you to forgive me. Amen. One of the hardest things to do is to say, I'm sorry. That's right. Mm-hmm. But come on, let the tenderness and the love of God, the beauty, amen. Amen. Holiness, the beauty of God, just coming out of you. Amen. Are you with me? Yes, sir. And look at this now. Look at this now. And he returned and wept before the Lord. Now, this is what David was afraid of. Remember when David missed it? He said, don't take your spirit away from me. That's what you ought to say. Oh God, don't take your presence away from me. Don't be arrogant. Repent. Don't say, well, I told them. No, they, you know these people. They gave me their gold and I threw it in the fire and out came a golden calf. That's a lie. That's arrogant. Presumptuous. Amen. But say, but you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So what happened? So what happened? So you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that he abode there. Can you imagine? That generation. And then they wandered for 40 years in Hebrews. Chapter 3, if you can go over there and read that. We won't go there right now, but you connect. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and they died. But their little children that they were afraid of grew up and went over in the promised land. And oh, God gave them a deliverance. God said I was going to show wonders. And he did. The walls of Jericho came down. The Jordan was parted. Wow. Wow. What a God. What a Savior. So we ought to give him praise tonight. We ought to worship God tonight. Boy, this...